So what time is it? I make it about 5:32. Most of us, I think, would answer a question like that, what time is it, by looking at our watches or maybe our cell phones. But there could be other possible responses to that question, what time is it? Following the wisdom of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this could be a time to weep. It could be a time to laugh. It could be a time to seek. It could be a time to lose. It could be a time to keep silent. It could be a time to speak. Could the year of our Lord 2023 be a time for God to act? You ever thought that God seems to be rather slow at times in answering prayer? Surely this is a time for God to act when we look out at what's going on around us in the world. A time to deal with injustice, with suffering, with pain, which affect all of humanity. Perhaps you've been praying for someone you love, someone you care about, that they would commit themselves to the Lord. But time passes and you don't see any change. Perhaps you've been petitioning the Lord for physical healing, something that's been troubling you in your body, but so far hasn't come. Perhaps there's a couple that pray for the gift of children. They've longed for their own children, but they haven't so far been blessed that way. Some pray for a godly husband or a godly wife to marry. And some are still waiting. Some pray that the Lord would lift the stubborn darkness of depression, but still clouds in the mind obscure the light of the Son of God. You ever been tempted to pray less because it just seems at times as though nothing's changing? You don't seem to see as a result of any perceivable divine action, at least not as yet. Many of us will know the Psalms have been described by John Calvin as an anatomy of the human soul. He further explained, and I quote, "There is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror." The Psalms frequently reveal a strong sentiment that the Lord has been too slow in taking necessary action. For example, "How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" That's Psalm 13, verse 2. "How long, O Lord, will you look on?" Psalm 35, 17. "How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever?" That's Psalm 89. And so if you find yourself now or in the future, or you have in the past, wondering, "Why are you taking so long, Lord, to act and answer my prayer?" Well, you're not alone. By no means. In our text from Psalm 119 and verse 126, the psalmist declares, "It is time, Lord. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken." This is part of the 8 verses in the iron section of Psalm 119. There's no English letter equivalent for the consonant, the Hebrew consonant iron. It's a silent consonant. The words "do" and the word "time" both begin with this silent consonant iron, and they really summarize the teaching of this section, this 16th section of the longest psalm in the Bible. And so our sermon this afternoon is about time, and it's about action. 3 points: a time of injustice, a time to learn, and a time to love. So firstly, a time of injustice. When you read through Psalm 119, and we touched a little bit on this morning, it's very clear that the psalmist is suffering. He's under constant attack from enemies, a theme that comes up repeatedly as he speaks about them plotting against him, wanting to destroy him, laying snares for him. These evildoers who are his enemies are those who oppose God and his ways. They're oppressing the psalmist without cause. And whilst he's not perfectly innocent, he himself hasn't acted unjustly. He confesses in verse 121, "I have done justice and righteousness." Now, that's not a self-righteous plea of absolute innocence before God. It's an acknowledgement that he's guilty of nothing to deserve the oppression from his enemies. And because of this, he asks for a gift from the Lord. "Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me." The word "pledge" here refers to a promise given in a court of law to cover any debts. It reflects the idea of taking responsibility for somebody else. For example, in the scripture, when Judah assured his father Jacob that he would take responsibility for Benjamin's safety if he went down to Egypt, he was pledging good for Benjamin. The psalmist is praying that the Lord would protect him and take action against his enemies. "Do not leave me to my oppressors," verse 121. "Do not let the insolent oppress me," verse 122. And here's the thing. The evildoers have acted against him personally, but his main concern is not about himself. Notice the words, and they appear three times in this section, verses 122, 124, and 125, the words "your servant." As a servant of God, his greatest concern is that his enemies are those who oppose his master. "Your law has been broken." That's the reason why he wants the Lord to act. His oppressors oppose the Lord, the covenant God of Israel. They oppose the one true God who has entered into a relationship with the people to call them his own. So think about this. If and when you and I face unjust opposition, ultimately it's because our oppressors oppose God's law and therefore God himself. They're in rebellion against him. And so the psalmist very boldly calls on the God of the covenant to do something about this injustice. He boldly calls. It's a very pushy prayer, this prayer. It's like that of the friend who needed to borrow three loaves of bread in the parable of the persistent prayer that Jesus recounts in Luke 11. It is time for the Lord to act. Your law has been broken. He's speaking in a time of injustice where Israel was breaking the covenant. They were transgressors of the law of God. And so far it would appear that they continued to do evil without any penalties. If Psalm 119 was written after the period of the exile, after the captivity of Israel in Babylon, then this would be after the divine charge that the Lord made against Israel of breaking the covenant. That's in Jeremiah 11:10. "The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant that I made with their fathers." Now, it's not that God's promises can ever ultimately be broken or taken away, but that the actions of individuals can separate them individually from the blessings of the covenant if they reject God himself. And so this was a time of injustice and a time for the Lord to act. "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love." Act in line with your covenant love. Act in line with what you have promised. You promised to be God to me as one of your people. So act now, because my eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. What he longs for is good. It's right. It's salvation. There's nothing wrong with what the psalmist longs for. And he wants God to act, to do something. "Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love." I want to see you save. We need a savior. This is a time of injustice, of oppression and unrighteousness. So he writes. Well, today at this time, the world is not the same as it was when this psalm was written. If you think about it, so many things are different. So many things from that time back then. And yet, if you think about it, so many things are actually quite the same. Surprisingly so. This year of our Lord, 2023, is a time of injustice. You know that. I know that. We don't have to look far to see evidence of it. Who are the people, or what are the things that oppress you and I today? Well, in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, oppress us. Satan oppresses those who call God their own, our own flesh, our sinful flesh, wars against us, and the unbelieving world suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. Schemes of the devil oppress us when he seeks to attack. When we're persecuted by the world for the sake of Christ, those who oppress us are oppressing the Lord, opposing the Lord. And when we suffer ourselves through yielding to temptation and falling into sin, we bring greater dishonor to Christ than we do to ourselves. And so you and I in this year of our Lord 2023 are likely to experience troubles because this is a time of injustice. Like the psalmist, we too need to pray, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes, which brings us to the second point. This is a time to learn, a time to learn. Well, we can learn much about the Lord and his ways from his word, and in this case from Psalm 119. We also learn much about ourselves as we study how a servant of the Lord responds to a world in a time of injustice. So whilst there's much to learn from this text, there's some things we don't know. We don't know, for example, who wrote Psalm 119. Likely candidates are Ezra or Daniel, or perhaps if the psalm is a bit older, David. We can't be sure. We do know this psalmist was a man of faith whose calling in life was to be a servant of the Lord. And we know that he already knows the scriptures. They're not foreign to him. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's verse 11 of Psalm 119. I will delight in your statutes, that I will not forget your word. That's verse 16. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. That's verse 99. But as the Lord acts to deliver the psalmist from his enemies, there's more to learn and there's more to understand. There are yet greater spiritual heights to be raised to. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And so here we see the focus is shifting away from personal security to personal growth in the Lord. Now he's really saying, act within me, Lord, to change my heart and my mind. It's time for me to learn. And so often the Lord, and we know, many of us know this so well, it's so often, it is exactly and precisely in times of injustice and difficulty that the Lord teaches us. And that if we are willing to learn, then we will grow. The time often in life is not yet the time for deliverance, not yet the time for resolution of difficulties, but the time to learn. And I think one of the most remarkable verses in the scriptures with regard to this is the example of Jesus Christ in his sinless humanity. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. As a human being on this earth, Jesus had a teachable spirit. he was willing to learn in the midst of injustice. And so this author, the author of Psalm 119, whoever he was like Christ. And the truth is, of course, that the Lord is always teaching us. The question is not whether he's teaching us. The question is, are we willing to learn? And one of the key ways, as we've already seen, is in the midst of difficulty. At times like this, he teaches us patience, humility, and also persistence in prayer. In the parables, Jesus taught in a number of ways about persistent prayer. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There are likely to be times this year when the Lord will be training and disciplining you and me. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So what time is it? In this year of our Lord, 2023, it's a time of injustice all around us and within us. And it's a time to learn from the Lord about his holiness, his word, and his ways. So what are you going to learn as you pray through the difficulties that may come your way this year? What are you learning as you pray your way through the trials of others in the church? And that we know of in the outside world. So a time of injustice, a time to learn, and finally a time to love. So the psalmist is under pressure. He needs help, but he's also very much in love. The Hebrew word therefore begins also with this letter ayin, and you see it there at the end in the last two verses. Therefore I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. It is true of all people throughout all ages that whatever or whoever we love most is the object or person that we deem to be most valuable. So it's true of all people through all ages that whatever or whoever we love the most, that object or person is what we deem to be most valuable. It's true, if you think about it. Some people, it's their material assets. Like the rich man with very productive land in the parable that Jesus taught, who built bigger, larger barns in which to store all his grain and his goods. For some people, it's their own social standing and self-importance, like the scribes and the Pharisees, who love the place of honor at the feasts and the best seats in the synagogue. For some people, it's their own work and achievements, like King Nebuchadnezzar, who exalted himself and said, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" For the psalmist, he values the word of God above all else. And he talks about gold. Gold is a relatively rare, precious metal that has been highly valued throughout history. And if you follow the gold price, you might have noticed that it's going up at the moment. That gold is often a refuge for people in times of uncertainty. It has been for a long time. And the psalmist speaks about gold. The highest value of God's word he describes as above fine gold. That's the rarest, most refined, highest carat gold. It's the best of the best. And so to value scripture, to value God's word, conveys a valuing of his will, of his promise of salvation, of himself as the author of that word. And so the psalmist is expressing his devotion to the Lord whom he loves with all his heart, his soul, and his mind. In New Testament terms, if you will, this is to acknowledge the unfathomable riches of Christ, the gospel of salvation above all else. To value the word of God as life, as light, as the very power of God unto salvation. Now, I know that you wouldn't be here, many of us wouldn't be here, if we did not value God's word highly. This is what the psalmist did. He recognized how very valuable God's word is. And so you see, prayer in unjust circumstances has brought the psalmist to realize and to remember that above all else, he loves the Lord. That's where he's been brought to. He values God and his ways above everything else. And he confesses complete faith in the Lord there in verse 128. I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. There's no ifs, buts, and maybes there. He's not saying, well, I like most of it, but there's a few bits I find rather difficult and I'd rather ignore. No. It's comprehensive. It's complete. I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I find no fault in your ways. I recognize that I might think that you're being a little bit slow, but who am I? You are right in all your ways. And so he has found what all of us long for. Contentment. He's found that place of peace within the midst of his circumstances. He's found the place of acceptance, even at a time of great suffering. And so this is the time to acknowledge for you and for me, whatever's going on in our lives at the moment, that the Lord's ways are always best in every situation and circumstance of life. And that prayer, as we pray to the Lord, brings us by faith to adore the one we love, Christ Jesus. The Lord always acts in time at just the right time. I've seen it in many of your lives. I've seen it in my own life. At the time, I think, man, he's being a bit slow. But afterwards, see something of his wisdom. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus came at just the right time. So what time is it for us today? Well, it's now almost 6 o'clock. It's been an average length sermon. It's a time to learn obedience, faithfulness, joy, through what we suffer in an age of injustice. It's a time to love Christ in and through whom God has acted in time to save people, even us. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a time to love God's word, to love the word of Christ, to open your Bible every day this year, and to dig and to delve for the treasure therein. One of my goals for this holiday, for myself, is to readjust my own personal devotions and improve the way in which I interact with the word of God first thing in the day. It's a time to enter into God's presence praying, Lord, I can't meet this person's need or change their way of thinking. I can't solve this problem or fix it for them. But I know that nothing is too difficult for you. So please show me how to be the person somebody else needs. Draw them to yourself, even as you draw me closer to you. Know that this is a time of injustice. It's a time to learn, and it's a time to love the Lord. It's a time to pray, knowing that the Lord always acts in time in your situation and mine. And we can live by that truth with contentment and joy, peace and security. Amen.